and welcome to this week's Big Boat Interview. My name is Charlotte Hogarth-Jones and I'm the Features Director here at Boat International. This week, you can come behind the scenes with me and listen in on my chat with Niccolò Favoretto Rubelli, the man at the helm of the famous Rubelli Fabric House. Now, anyone that works in yachting, certainly anyone who works in yacht interiors, will be familiar with that name. Incredibly, the company has been going since the 17th century and has maintained its reputation worldwide as one of the most exquisite Venetian fabric weavers. The brand's signature look is often thought of as very rich velvets, damasks and silks, sometimes with striking Baroque-inspired patterns and, of course, all exceptional quality. But today there's a huge breadth to what they do, and their latest collection, Gardens, which was carried out under the creative direction of former Fantasma, is quite a departure. It features some really fresh, youthful sorbet shades alongside more delicate florals. Rubelli fabrics can be found everywhere from the Presidential Palace in Rome and the Burj Al Arab in Dubai to some of Grace Kelly's handbags. And Niccolò himself is an incredibly charming and entertaining man to have a coffee with. We talked about everything from how to choose fabrics for your super yacht to how to maintain the quality of your brand over literally hundreds of years. I hope you enjoy hearing what he had to say. I certainly did. Okay, so I'm here today at Chelsea Harbour Design Centre with Niccolò Rubelli, CEO, of course, of the Rubelli Fabric House. If you haven't heard of them, then I don't know where you've been, because they've been around since the 18th century, 18th, 16th?
We're very old.
Very old, not you personally.
Yeah, but I'm old as well. But, you know, I represent the fifth generation, because Lorenzo Rubelli acquired an existing company in 1889.
Wow.
So quite a while ago. And the company he purchased goes back to the 17th century. We don't have an exact date. And at the end of the day, we're so old that we don't really care. So it's in the family since 1889, but goes back much later.
Okay. Well, what an introduction. And of course, I'm sure we'll talk later about, you know, your connection with Venice. And obviously hugely relevant to so many yacht owners who, I think, A, have your fabrics on their yachts, but also in their homes, particularly.
I count on that. And actually, it's true. So often is... first the yacht, then the home, and vice versa. It's a good mix. It can go both ways.
Yeah, bit of both. So much to talk about. We came here today actually to see your new collections, which is very exciting. We had a preview of both the Gardens collection and the Spice collection, and saw some brilliant sort of rugged outdoor fabrics that would be brilliant for yachts.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. And actually, when we developed them, we did think of yachts.
Yeah.
Because performance is important. And I keep saying, beautiful shoes are great. For an evening, you need nice shoes. But now, walking in sneakers is easier.
Yeah.
It's also textiles. You want them to look good, but you want them to be practical.
Yeah.
And on yachts, yes, if they are outdoor, they are safe.
Yeah.
Even though we prefer when they change every season, but it's not always the case.
Yeah.
So an outdoor fabric, easy care, makes people worry less.
Yeah. And of course, I think that's in line with the kind of a more relaxed mood in yachting, whereas in the super yachts of the 80s was all about appearances and, you know, 90s.
I have to say, we love that as well.
Yeah.
But we understand this is an evolution.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe before I go on to some further questions, you could just, for those who don't know you, name a few of the places where your fabrics can be seen. I didn't know until today, you know, I know you've been in some incredible buildings, but some of the brands you mentioned today, you know, you've done things for Gucci, for Valentino, but also Game of Thrones.
Of course.
I'm humming the theme tune in my head.
Oh, that's very clever. Okay. you retain that. Yes, indeed. I mean, our textiles, which are both for interiors. So, of course, they go in the homes. Since we're in London, let's mention palaces.
Yes, go on.
Buckingham Palace.
I was lucky enough
to go twice to visit, and proud that there are some Rubelli fabrics even at Buckingham Palace.
Yes.
And of course, if we talk about royal palaces, why not the Quirinale, which is the palace of Rome, which was built by the popes, then the kings of Italy. Luckily, we have kings for a very short time.
Yeah.
They live there. And now it's the home of the President of the Republic. And the present president is updating the palace. So every year there are some new rooms which are being added. I was very proud when Yannick Sinner, who was back from Australia with his big award, went to meet the President of the Republic. Behind him, there was a Rubelli family.
I was so proud
to sit behind Yannick Sinner. And I mean, he's a celebrity in Italy. I was so proud of him.
Yeah.
That's very good. And so, yes, palaces, but of course, we have to mention also residences. Is more difficult to mention, but the Gritti Palace Hotel in Venice,
yeah,
which is really something quite extraordinary, 100% Rubelli,
yeah,
because we kind of designed it. Or if we had to talk something also quite glamorous, one of the landmark, which is the new Tiffany store designed by Peter Marino in New York.
Yes, because I know that you collaborated with him. I saw that back in Salone, I think.
A great artist, not an architect only, he's an artist. And I have to say, yes, we designed many fabrics for him, and he likes to have, well, his interiors are so outstanding. Interior and architecture. He's both architect and interior designer. And so, yes, working for him and with him is quite a privilege. I learn always something. And the landmark has been really something outstanding.
Yeah, because that was going to be one of my questions. You know, you collaborate with different people based on different collections. I know you did, for example, Luke Edward Hall did a big collection with you a while ago, and Peter Marino and people like that. Sometimes people with quite different styles and different aesthetics, but what you produce always seems to be incredibly elegant and also, you know, sells, being blunt about it.
Hopefully.
So, yeah, so how do you decide who you work with and, you know, in terms of good taste, do you think you have an inbuilt sense of what works and what doesn't, or is it a question of refining things down and kind of narrowing things down once you're with the right people?
It's a multiple thing. I mean, there are many, many reasons why we act this way. Now, you mentioned we're an old company, we're in Venice, which is a very international place. I mean, you talk about the Biennale of Art, the Moon Film Festival, there's so much, the carnival itself bringing in and out so many people. It's really a very international place, but it's a village.
Yeah.
We have 50,000 inhabitants, so it's a small town. It's not Milano, which is still a small town. It's not London or Paris or New York. So our team is made of people who have been in the company for 20, 30, 35 years.
Really?
So we need innovation, because when you're in your comfort zone, you tend to keep doing the same things. So a reason why I decided to work with outside artists and designers was also to shake a little bit my design team and force them to think beyond the usual rules. Innovation is important.
Yeah.
And I had a reference, my great-grandfather in 1934, for example, exhibited at La Biennale of Art in the decoration pavilion some textiles done by artists of the time, among which Giuponti. I always said, my great-grandfather worked with Giuponti, I want to do the new Giuponti.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons why, well, look at what hall I selected, because his color palette. I've seen him working for Ginori.
Yeah.
Another very historical company, of course, belonging to the Kering Group, so with Gucci they have a different atmosphere. But they're also an old 1735, an antique company which needs to be renovated. The work with Luca Hall, I loved his colors. So we need to change. And I approached him, and it was very easy. He brings a very clear aesthetic. He's an artist before a designer. So I have to say his collection is very strong. But again, His point of view was reinterpret tradition, which is very similar to what Rubelli does, with his own eye.
Yeah.
And English people break the rules more than we do in Italy.
You think?
We have too much antiquity around. It's harder for us, especially in Venice, to break completely. He breaks them and did something totally new. So I loved what he did, and there will be chapter 2 coming soon. Peter Marino, well, he's a god.
Yes.
In our industry. So I wanted to approach him, and he loves Venice. So as a chairman of Venetian Heritage, I proposed him, why don't you design something, the benefit of which goes to Venetian Heritage to restore something in Venice? That's how I captured him. And now, I mean, he keeps asking us to develop fabrics which are quite strange often and quite challenging for his project, because he likes having bespoke fabrics. And working with him is really... it's very exciting. He has a very clear point of view. We have worked for many years. We had a license with the Giorgio Armani for the Armani Casa exclusive textile for Rubelli collection. But the approach of Peter Marino was very different. He's an architect and interior designer. So whenever we develop something for him, he's very clear. and constant, irregular. He sees immediately if something works or not. Mm. Like we develop something, no, it has to be more white because it's for drapery. No, it has to be more dimension. He really knows what the fabric is. I love working with him.
Yeah.
Because you learn so much. So it's not just for the sake of developing a successful collection, but it's also for the experience. And it shakes my team.
Yeah.
Because they are forced to do something to break the to get out of the comfort zone.
And let's talk a bit about that, because you know, it can't be easy if people have worked for Rubelli for 35 years and you have this family legacy of, you know, what your grandfather did, what your parents did, all of that, you know. Have you made some unpopular decisions, and how do you win people round to your way of thinking?
Do you talk about those things?
never.
I may have. I don't remember. Now, of course, it happens. Not always things go right. But I have to say, there's always, they don't go like you expect to sometimes.
Yeah.
But there's never something totally wrong. I mean, we have worked with one artist which didn't bring something very commercial, let's say.
Mm.
But then it brought to further developments. So really, you always find something good, even in the wrong decisions.
That's
as long as you're capable of not being stubborn and keeping, I mean, you need to understand, okay, move forward and take the good out of it.
Yeah.
And you always find
that.
And you can, things happen by one after the other. And if you're in a good mood, then really try to find out what good is good in any in every situation, you can always go further. Nothing is really bad, totally bad.
And did you always want to work in this industry, or is there a point where you thought, you know what, I want to be a pilot, or I want
That's a tough question. So my father entered the company, started as a lawyer, and started working as a lawyer. Then in the old 1955, he got in the company because there was one generation missing after his great-grandfather bought the company, his grandfather. Really developed it, and then there was one generation missing. There was an outside manager.
Mm.
He started as a lawyer, but then the company was kind of doing very badly, poorly. So he entered and fell in love with it. So his point of view was, you can do whatever you want, and you always have the time to come back. So I'm a civil engineer,
right,
which is horrible, nothing useful. And
no?
I wanted maybe to be an architect, and so did the wrong way. So studied a lot of useless things, which I have totally forgotten now.
Okay. But, I was going to say, is that not quite useful? But apparently
No.
Okay.
No, totally not.
No.
But anyway, but maybe it gives you a state of frame of mind. I don't know. I don't feel like an engineer, but anyway. And then I realized the opportunity I had with the family company, the beauty of the products, really fell in love. And I started after the university because while waiting for another job, and then I realized, why should I look for something else?
Mm.
When you go around the world being the ambassador from Venice of Italian Venetian textiles, you have the red carpet.
Yeah.
Why lose, give up such a huge opportunity?
Yeah.
So, no. I decided this is what I wanted to do.
Well, clearly, you know, clearly the right decision, I would
hopefully
say. But I want to talk a bit about quality as well, because I think so many companies, particularly in today's market with the supply chain difficulties and costs increasing and things, really struggle to keep their quality and their output the same. And it's one of the nice things I think about the soup yacht industry that people quite often say to me, you know, I remember seeing this incredible marble company, and they said, no one else will pay what it takes to make what we make. And that's something nice about the yachting industry, that people are prepared to pay for quality. But you're smiling, so perhaps not. But
yes, no, I totally agree.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
But how have you managed to kind of maintain, you know, the quality of what you do? Because they really are incredibly beautifully made. Looking at things this afternoon, you know, you've got these incredibly thick velvets and these beautiful shot silks, and it feels like being in a kind of fairy tale sometimes, seeing these incredible pieces. You know, even if you weren't interested in fabrics, I think you couldn't fail to be amazed by some of what you produce.
We are weavers. What my great-grandfather acquired was a weaving mill in Venice, specializing in the velvets from the tradition of Venice and the shop. Then things evolved. And you have to evolution, never deny your heritage, but it's an evolution. And we've always been weaver. Now our mill is in Como, next to Como, in the weaving mill, in the silk district, let's say. And this helps us understanding what's inside the textile.
Mm.
So yes, the textile is about color. That's what you first perceive when you see textile. It's about the pattern, but it's also about the quality. And Robelli has always been associated to that. We know the ingredients, we know how to make, to understand what the texture should be. So for us, it's very important. It should not only be pretty, it needs to be quality.
Mm.
And I believe from that point of view, Robelli is a guarantee because of this knowledge that we have. And so five generations, hopefully it will continue for many more generations. You cannot betray. So keeping the quality is extremely important. That's part of our DNA. And I agree with you that the yacht industry, super yacht industry, particularly appreciates quality and, as we mentioned, you mentioned with marbles, is ready to pay for it.
Mm.
The yacht somehow is a toy.
Yeah.
And on toy, you're ready to spend more than you spend for other things.
Yeah.
So somehow you want the toy to be perfect. We have seen fabrics that we don't sell on the regular, for the regular activities, interiors, being used in yachts because it has to be top.
Mm.
You really have to shock your guests in a yacht. So it is true that for yachts, quality somehow are even more important than in a residence. They are smaller, not small at all, but smaller than a big mansion. So possibly the quality, that they indulge more in quality than would indulge in a residence.
And what, so, you know, quality you've sort of addressed. What do you think the biggest challenges for you are as a business in your, you know, in the coming years? What's your focus and what are you kind of developing or working on in terms of the direction the company's going?
Technology helps in achieving qualities which perform more and more.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, for a seat, you want abrasion, that they last to the wear, they don't wear out. If it's for drapery, you want not to shrink, not to break, not to lose color, not to fade.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the use, you have different performances. And you want more and more fabrics to perform, to last. It's also about sustainability. Unfortunately,
I was going to touch on that. Can you have it all? Can you have both of those things?
Kind of, more and more. On my side, I would like people to change the fabrics every 2 years. But on the other side, we don't want... We already filled the planet with much rubbish and things which we dispose of.
Mm.
So things need to last more. And we are developing more and more qualities that are more resistant to the use that they are made for. And this is very important. And technology helps us both in allowing stronger coloration for natural fibers. Dyeing on silk is much stronger than what they would dye 100 years ago. So even the silk is more resistant than it would have been a while ago. But also having fibers which look, feel, and look natural. I mean, I have to thank Prada for this. Prada introduced the technical fibers for clothing. Before you would wear only cotton or linen of natural fibers. Now, wearing a technical fiber feels kind of better than wearing a natural because it lasts better. You wash it in the washing machine without purpose. Maybe sometimes keep you warmer than the wool. Cashmere is better. But cashmere, you have to handle with care.
Yeah.
A sweater which is performing, let's say, you handle with no fear.
Yeah.
And also for upholstery fabrics, you want a sofa which lasts forever, where you can play with your dog, where your children can eat the ice cream, and if they drop the chocolate, you can clean it.
Yeah.
I prefer what you cannot clean and you change the sofa. You change the fabric. But at the end of the day, we have to be reasonable.
But I think it's interesting what you're saying. It's definitely a sort of trap that I've seen people falling into recently, that people are confusing sustainable with natural, like, wool.
Not at all.
You're right. If you've got a kind of synthetic fabric, product, whatever it is, that lasts you for years.
Performance,
not technology. Synthetic.
Synthetic sounds horrible.
I give up all those words,
man-made, artificial. No, call it high-performing or technological, technical or whatever. Tech fibers, yeah.
Yeah, but I agree with you that that's something that needs to change. And if you had... maybe you do have a yacht. Do you have a yacht? I think you don't, but you like spending time on the water.
I mean, on the water, because I'm in Venice, so I have the canal down my home.
Yes.
But no, I'm too lazy. It takes a lot of care. Maybe I don't have time. Maybe when I will get older and we'll have more time. I like yachts of other people.
Well, that's the famous phrase, isn't it? The best yacht is your friend's yacht, which I always think is quite true.
So for the moment, it's fine.
Yeah. But if you were to have a yacht... What, you know, can you imagine what sort of things you would want on there? Maybe from the new collection, what you would have on board?
I think, oh, that's an interesting question. I think I would like maybe theme, not necessarily quality or whatever, but I think that I like places to have a sense of place. So when you do a house in the mountain, it needs to have a mountain feeling. If you are in the city, it needs to be metropolitan. It cannot be the sweet flowers that you would have in the country. So in a yacht, I would like to have the wave theme. So we have, well, starting with the Peter Marino fabric, which has the feeling of the wave of the water. Today's we have we introduced just a sheer, which has the feeling, well, of a tree bark, but they also resemble waves. So why not have the theme, different qualities, different colors, but the theme of the wave in a yacht, so that you feel that you're really surrounded by the water?
Yeah, I can imagine that looking absolutely beautiful. And I wanted to touch slightly on color, because, you know, you mentioned it's something you think about a lot, and particularly in your new collection, there are some just incredible in the gardens collection, sort of sorbet type colours that are quite unusual, really, or at least I feel like they are. You know, there's a kind of nightingale yellow that I haven't seen since my grandma's bathroom suite.
Okay.
But on your fabric, it looks incredible. Was that a big focus for you with this collection, or something you've been working on?
Yes, because I mentioned earlier, colour is the first impact when you see a fabric. The first impact when you see from far away, it's the colour. Then the pattern, then the quality. And the color is extremely important. We need to be more joyful, more cheerful, more fresh. I think we still need the patina because it's part of our DNA, but we also need some fresh. We're moving towards that. Fashion is getting us used to this new approach. So I believe that Tubelli also need to be cleaner, fresher. And so... And I have to say, I needed Forma Fantasma to do this step, because when you do such an important step to go into a new coloration, look at that whole summer was the first step. But then we need someone else from the outside helping and say, is it too much?
Yeah.
No, be confident and go ahead.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the big inputs to let us dare doing this new, fresh, clean, joyful colors.
Yeah.
We need that. It's the word is said enough. The collection is called Gardens. Really, we wanted to bring inside the colors of nature. So bring joy and fresh colors inside.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Don't make everything beige and boring. Maybe you don't do the whole house. You start with the curtain, you start with the pillows, a small chair, but do bring.
Yeah. I completely agree with you. And it's been such a, on a very grey London day, it's been such a breath of fresh air to see so many kind of sunny, fun, joyful colours here today. And the last thing I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to mention here, and I'm not sure if we've had this discussion yet, about our Boats Artisan and Craftsmanship Awards, which are the idea is that we want to kind of, you know, not just award designers in the superyacht industry and engineers and architects who all rightfully are celebrated already, but also the people who make things for superyachts. And of course, Rubelli, you touched on it a bit, but you know, you must have some incredible artisans in your, you know, working in your looms, and people that are real masters of their craft. You know, why do you think it's so important that people like that continue to make, really?
It's extremely important. I mean, we are, yes, I mean, the looms now are electronic, they're fast. We still have the hand looms where we do the velvets, as my great-great-grandfather, actually, as they were done 200, 300 years ago. We still have them, they're in our mill, they are our heritage, we are proud of it. You understand how things are woven, because in a contemporary loom, it's too fast, you don't see anything. Like you really see the art of weaving, how it works. But they're jewels, they're not really textiles. Technology helps in doing things fast and correctly, but still there is an artisanal touch to whatever we do. And like we have iconic damask, which is dyed, the silk of the damask is dyed in skeins, so that the color is not uniform, it changes, and the ground changes the colors. It's not a flat, sharp look, and it's an artisanal process.
Yeah.
We introduced today a moiré, forget me not. Moiré is still mechanical. It's done, yes, technology helps. You don't do it totally by hand, but it's still something which is more artisanal process, not really industry.
Yeah.
And a lot of our fabrics, if they're not artisanal, there's not a hand labor, they need to feel like they're there.
Yes,
we like irregular yarns, we like surfaces which are a little softer, that they have this feeling. I think today with sharp, I mean, the life is sharp enough. So at least when you are in an interior, you want something which is softer.
Yeah.
Even in that, that has this man-made look. And more there will be the two directions, something industrial and expensive and maybe done by big volumes, and then the things that are made to measure more unique and bespoke.
Yeah, it's interesting what you were saying. You touched on it a bit in your presentation today about kind of perfection, and actually with your fabrics, so often the things that are the most striking are the things that have sort of irregular patterns or unexpected things, and you know, this sort of mindset of making things flawless actually can be counterproductive in terms of creating something that's really striking.
I agree.
But what are you doing to, you know, do you struggle to find the next generation of craftsmen to work with the company, or is it still being passed down for you?
Knocking on wood, whatever, no. Thank God in the area where we are. If we had stayed in Venice with the production, we would have faced this problem.
You think?
Because Venice is no longer a place to produce.
Mm.
Glass industry is facing big issues, and it's very sad because it's a fantastic industry and belongs to the DNA of Venice, as well as silk producing. But you need the spinner, you need the dyers, you need the finisher, you need a lot of artisans to get to a textile. And we do the weaving, which is the main part, but not the only part. So we are in the Como area. You still have a lot of these artisans, family companies, small, which they do not only as a business, but for passion.
Yeah.
That's what drives and keeps the activity alive. And that's what I believe will let, still there is hope that this can continue. Because there's this passion and they understand how to make things very special. And there is a certain contamination with the fashion world,
mm-hmm.
where you have always to challenge. The fashion world gives some energy to our, also to our interior world, which would otherwise walk much slower.
Yes.
So I think we're very lucky in Italy to have all this machine which keeps all these activities alive. And it's, very proud of being Italian, Venetian and Italian, because we have so many beautiful things that we look at, and this, thank God, forces us to keep doing beautiful things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's a great place to end things. Long may it continue. Thank you so much for your time today on your flying visit to London. Obviously, we'll make sure we've got some beautiful pictures of this collection somewhere so that people can listening to this can have a look as well. And I guess we will see you in Milan for Salone.
No doubt. Okay. I will be happy to welcome you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Big Broke Briefing, which is mixed and produced by Adam Geist and is a production of Bose International Media. Don't forget to like this episode and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.